All God's people said, amen. We continue our look at the story of the Exodus. We have seen the Israelites find themselves in a land that cared not for who they were and what they believed and who they had been. They found themselves truly in a foreign land where they had been stripped of all. And yet and still they remained true to God. A God who spoke to Moses where he was hiding. And a God who still speaks to us when we are choosing to hide from the call on our lives. A God who called forth Moses to come and to face Pharaoh and to say, "Let my people go." Last week we looked at Pharaoh and his hardened heart and talked about how many times we are guilty of the same sin. That we harden our own hearts, determined that we're going to have our way, determined that life is going to meet our expectations and our agendas, determined that we are not going to let down our guard, especially when God is asking of us things we do not want to give. When God is calling us into places we do not want to go, we harden our hearts until at last our hearts must break. And then we truly surrender to what God is trying to do. And so Pharaoh says, "Take your people and their stuff and take our stuff with it and go. Just leave Egypt." And so that is where we find the Israelites today is they have left Egypt. But they are not through with the Egyptians yet. God says to Moses, "I want you to take the Israelites and I want you to go and I want you to camp on the shores of the Red Sea. Because the deliverance isn't complete just quite yet. No, I've got one more thing I need to do. I want you to go and I want you to camp on the shores of the Red Sea. And Egypt is going to follow you. And they're going to come, but I want you to know, do not be scared. Do not be scared when you see that entire army come crashing down toward you. Do not fear, because I'm going to do something that's going to make everything else I've done to this point look like child's play. I'm going to save you miraculously, and I'm going to punish the Egyptians. And the reason I'm going to do all of this is because I want no doubt in the minds of the Egyptians, nor any doubt in the mind of the Israelites, that I am God." So Moses follows, and he leads the Israelites to the shore of the Red Sea, and they camp. Can't you imagine that that was probably a great feeling? Here it was, they were no longer bound by their oppressors. They were experiencing freedom for the first time. They were there with their families and all their stuff and all the Egyptian stuff too. Prepared for a brand new life, remembering through this entire process that God had promised them a land of their own. And they knew that that was their destination. Oh, the joy and the excitement they must have been feeling there camped on the shore. And even when Moses said, "God's calling us here and the Egyptians are going to come in," they weren't really paying attention to that, because we're not worried about that anymore, because good times are coming. Until the Egyptians showed up. Now, one thing you've got to give it to Pharaoh is he didn't halfway do anything. He said, "No, I'm not just going to send a few folks to go round up those slaves. No, I'm going to send all my folks. I'm going to send my entire army, because I'm making a point here. They're mine. You belong to me, and I'm taking you back, and I want there to be no question. Despite all that we have experienced, despite all that we have seen, I want there to be no question that I am in charge." And so he gets his whole army and sends them after the Israelites. And the Israelites' life is going great until they look up and they see that army coming. And here they find themselves between a sea that they cannot swim and an army they cannot defeat. And just like that, their joy all of a sudden becomes sorrow. Their happiness all of a sudden becomes fear and concern. Just like that, their life changes completely. And just when things were going so well, now all they see is despair and helplessness. Have you ever had that in your life? Where things were just going along just smoothly, and then all of a sudden like that, out of nowhere comes some big army, and you find yourself stuck between two impossible situations and wondering, just what am I going to do now? Just like that. That's how quickly armies come in our lives. Just like that. That's how quickly we can find ourselves in impossible circumstances. And how do we react? How do we react when we are faced with two options, neither one of them appealing, both of them apparently to our destruction? How do we respond? If we're honest, we probably respond a lot like the Israelites. I want you to notice what the Israelites said. Keep your Bibles open. Again, we're in Exodus chapter 14. Beginning with verse 10. When the Israelites saw the king and his army coming after them, they were very frightened, and they cried to the Lord for help. They said to Moses, "What have you done to us? Why did you bring us out here in Egypt to die in the desert? There are plenty of graves for us in Egypt. Why did you bring us to this?" So many times in our own lives when we find ourselves facing difficult choices, and when we face ourselves finally facing our own mortality, when we find ourselves facing decisions and realities that we don't want to think about, so many times we cry out just like the Israelites, wondering, why are we in this place? What has happened? Why all of a sudden does it seem that I'm lost, that I have nowhere to go? Our fear takes hold of us, and we feel that we are lost, that we are just cast out in the midst of nowhere with no possible way out. But it's in those moments that we have to be reminded, God knows where we are. We may not know where we are, but God always knows where we are. This last weekend, we took Lucy and drug her brothers with us to see Cinderella at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. And we have been to Alabama Shakespeare Festival several times, and so pretty familiar with the road of 80 that cuts through Demopolis and Selma and on to Montgomery. But no matter how many times I traverse that road, there's that one place in Selma where I always get lost. And it doesn't matter how well I follow the signs, all of a sudden I really have no clue where I am. Because all of a sudden 80, which to this point has been solid and straight and well marked, there's something about Selma, Alabama, where all of a sudden 80 decides to lose its mind. And now you have 80, and you have truck route 80, and you have business 80, and you have alternative 80, and you have 80 that has the E behind it, and I've yet to figure out exactly what that is. But now all of a sudden, when I knew exactly where I was going and I was following the signs and we were making good progress, now all of a sudden 80 has lost its mind and it left me in the wake. And I don't know exactly where to go. And you have to turn here. And then as soon as you make that turn, you feel like you were completely and utterly lost, like there is no possible way. And then you get down here and there's a dead end and you're turning and you're praying. I still turn and pray and am always lost, even though I've made it several times. But also, now I also have my phone. And so whenever I doubt it, which I always do, I just push that map button on my phone. And the thing that I love about the map feature on my phone is it shows me not only where it is that I'm going, but it has this big blue dot that tells me exactly where I am. And I start looking for that dot. And when all of a sudden I don't see the dot anywhere on the blue line, I start to panic a little bit. And now I got to figure out how to get my dot back on the blue line so that I know exactly where I'm going. Because even in that moment when I have no clue as to where I'm going and am lost in Selma, Alabama, which I would not recommend for anyone, but my phone knows exactly where I am. And as long as I have it and it is well charged, then together we're going to be able to figure out how to get back on the way that we need to get so that we can get where we're going. So in the midst of my fear, in the midst of my concern, in the midst of my insecurities, I have something there that tells me it's going to be okay. We're going to get there. But how many times is it easier for me, confession time, that I trust that phone? Sometimes probably more than I trust God in certain situations in my life. When I find myself in those impossible places where I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know what the direction is, and all of a sudden I thought I knew exactly where things were headed, and I was on the right path, and now all of a sudden I find myself lost, and I want to panic. And I wish sometimes that life had one of those buttons that I could push, and all of a sudden it could make those, answer those questions for me. And that's when I have to stop and breathe and remind myself that, yes, I don't know where I am. Yes, I don't know how I got here. Yes, I'm not quite sure how to get back where I was going. But it's okay because God knows where I am. He hasn't lost track of me. He hadn't lost track of His will for my life. And the same is true for all of us in this room. In those times where we feel lost, we don't have to fear because God knows where we are. And 9 times out of 10, it's because that's where God wants us to be. The Israelites needed to be reminded of that. And they were like, no, we are lost. What are we going to do? Why did you bring us to this place where we don't know? Moses had to speak the reality to them as God still speaks to us. Don't fear. You don't worry about it because God knows exactly where you are. Let's go back to the scripture. Let's pick up again with verse 10. When the Israelites saw the king and his army coming, they were frightened and they cried to the Lord for help. And they said to Moses, "What have you done to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There were plenty of graves for us in Egypt. We told you in Egypt, let us alone. We will stay and serve the Egyptians, and now we will die in the desert." I love that that was their go-to response too. Because this is the moments where I have to think, you know what? Maybe the Israelites were a whole lot more Methodist than we want to give them credit for. Because their immediate response was, oh, why couldn't it be the way it was? Oh, why couldn't things be like they used to be? Why didn't you just leave us alone? No, you had to send us some crazy young preacher who all of a sudden started saying things we didn't want to hear. Why couldn't you just leave things be? We're happy where we are. We know what to expect. We know what's not expected of us. The Israelites have barely been out of bondage. And now all of a sudden they see their bondage with rose-colored glasses. Oh, if you had just left us alone, things were just fine in Egypt. No, they weren't. You were slaves. You owned nothing. You were property. Your entire existence was to work and to die. That is not an existence for anyone. Oh, if we could just go back. If we could just go back to what we knew. If we could just go back to when things made sense. Have you ever thought that in moments in your own life? Oh, if I just could go back to when things made sense. I think that every time I try to hook up anything electronic through Bluetooth wireless. I am of the wired generation. I knew how I was the one who put together my parents' VCR. I'm the one who can hook up the DVD player. You give me a cord and some plugs, and I can make those things happen. But there is something about this whole wireless concept that is just working beyond me, and I'm constantly working on it. And there are many times that I think, oh, if it could just go back to something that I understood. If we could just go back to a time when things made sense. But you can't go back. No matter how much we may want to, no matter how much we may desire to, no matter how much we may rail against heaven for the journey that has taken us away from what we have known and from what we have understood, all of that will not change the circumstance that you cannot go back. And that it wasn't as great as you think it was. That's what the Israelites were struggling with. Oh, if we could just go back. We knew what life was like in Egypt. But you can't. And the same is true for us. God is constantly calling us as a church, but also as a people. He's constantly calling us to grow and to mature and to move forward in His will and in His calling. And as much as we may wish we didn't have to, you can't go back. That's not an option. Because that is no longer who we are. That is no longer where we're supposed to be. We have a new identity. We have a new purpose. We have a new place. God is calling us into it. Let's look back at verse 11 one more time. They said to Moses, "What have you done to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There were plenty of graves for us in Egypt. We told you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. We will stay and serve the Egyptians.' Now we're all going to die in the desert." But Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and you will see the Lord save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again after today. You need only remain calm, and the Lord will fight for you." Here in the midst of their fear, in the midst of their doubts, in the midst of their pleading, in the midst of their insecurities, Moses says, just hush. Just stop talking. Stop worrying. God's got this. Because God always makes a way. He said, this isn't your job to figure out. It's not your job to make this happen. It's not your job to save yourself. I often think how many times Moses wanted to go, "People, seriously, you have done absolutely nothing for all of this process. It wasn't you who brought you out of Egypt. Now, why all of a sudden do you think it's up to you to save yourself again?" No, it's up to you to be where God wants you to be. And God will make the way. And God will do it in ways that we never imagined. If you go on with the story and you hear exactly how things played out, up until this point, the cloud and the fire that had been leading them now moves around behind. And can't you imagine that that's the first thing the Israelites said? Oh, well, that's what God's going to do. God's just moving what we have known and what we have followed, and He's just going to use it in a different way. Yeah, we can do that. We are comfortable with this cloud. We are comfortable with this fire. We know what this looks like. That's what God's going to use to save us. And God's like, nope, that's just biding time. Then God did the unexpected. He parted the sea. He brought dry land out of water. He did something that never could have been anticipated or expected. And He does the same in our lives. When we find ourselves between an army and a Red Sea, and we're worried about how the devil are we going to get ourselves out of this, sometimes God says, I just want you to be still. I just want you to hush. And I just want you to trust that I'm going to do something. And that I'm going to do something you can't even imagine. But I'm going to do it. Why? Because I want you to fully understand that I am God. And the way that I move in your life should constantly affirm your faith each and every moment. All I need you to do is be where I put you and trust that I am going to save you. That's the same word for us today. Do we believe that where we are, God can use? Do we believe that God knows where we are, and that God can work with where we are in leading us to something better as a church and as individuals of faith? And are we willing to let God do it? Are we willing to be quiet? Are we willing to stop the whining? Are we willing to stop the pleading? Are we willing to wait and see what God is going to do? Because we trust Him. And we trust His love for us that never changes. Let us pray. Eternal Father, so many times we just, in the blink of an eye, we find ourselves in circumstances and in situations where we just don't know what to do. Where we're scared and we're frightened, and this is a place we've never been, and a calling that we've never heard, and expectations that we've never met, and we don't know where to go or what to do, and it seems that the entire world is closing in around us. But it is in those moments that our trust in You and our faith calms our spirits and our hearts. And that You always make a way. Loving Father, there are so many things in our lives right now. And I just pray, oh Lord, for all of us as a church, and for us as individuals, that whatever our Red Sea moment is, whatever it is in this life that is finding us blocked and scared and feeling that we have run out of chances, oh Lord, right now, if You will just speak truth to those places in our life, that You will just bless us with the assurance that You are there and that You are God and that You are still with us. And the God who led us to this place will lead us through in unexpected ways, but in glorious ways. For Your promise still stands. Your promise that we will be Your people and You will be our God, and that You will lead us into a place of our own. God, where You are calling us, may we follow. And when we find our ways blocked, may we simply trust in You. And to see You make a way where there seems to be no way. Give us courage. Give us faith. Give us hope. We ask these things in the blessed name of Christ.
This morning, I'd like for us to close with, you know,